Amen. Well, get your Bibles out this morning. And if you would, turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 15. Now, I thought I was through with that message I preached last week, but apparently not. Got some more that we're going to take off on here this morning about learning how to walk in God's kingdom. You know, it's an interesting thing. I may not be like everybody. I'm a little bit, I like adventures. And my wife and I just went on a little adventure, had to do some business in Washington State. And so we flew into Seattle. And it was one of these adventures where everything goes wrong. You know, plane's delayed. So then that stops the time that the rental car, and then that stops the hotel room, stops it, you know, and so. We're in Houston Airport, you know, I didn't make it to Houston, I was already all completely off, out of whack, you know, we planned this thing and, you know, and had it all coordinated, you know, supposedly perfectly, and I was, didn't even get to Houston where it was already all shot to pieces, and so, anyway, so I got on the phone and started canceling everything, just canceled cars, canceled this, just a toll. I said, man, we'll just end up down there, we'll just go find something. She said, well, Robert, you know, we'll get there like at 10 o'clock at night, and I said, it'd be no big deal. It'll be all right. We'll end up at the airport. We'll just figure it all out. So I'm standing there on the phone talking. This guy comes up to me and says, are you going to Seattle? And I said, yeah, I am. He says, well, let me tell you. And so he started telling me about what I ought to do, how I could get to where I needed to be, because he heard me talking on the phone. And so I started laughing, saying, you know, God, you take care of fools everywhere, you know. Here's this guy. He probably doesn't have any of the same values that I have in life. Standing here is just completely, I mean, you could not get more opposite than me and him standing there talking. And here he's giving me some information I need. And you know, that's the way it is with God. Sometimes we don't understand the kingdom of God. We don't understand the things that are going on. We try to get it all figured out, but we're trying to figure everything out in the kingdom of God by our human reasoning. And that just doesn't work. Folks, I want to tell y'all something this morning. I just am overjoyed this morning to see all of y'all in church. And I just want you to know that there's a whole world out there of millions of people that think you're crazy for being here this morning. But that's okay. As long as you know what you believe and you know the kingdom of God you want to walk in, you know your God this morning, and you can come in here and you worship me and that's what you want to do, well, then glory to God. Amen? And so we have to understand something. The kingdom of God does not operate like the kingdom of this world. It's not the same. It doesn't operate the same. Doesn't function the same. You just can't imagine. If you would have, y'all, I would have liked to have taken one of those helmet cams just in the last 5 days with me and seen where I've been and what I've done into the strange land that I went. Into the bowels of hell and returned. Full of faith. Seeing God's hand moving. You don't know what it's like until you're a redneck hung in an airport parking trying to return a car and you can see where you want to go, but you can't get there. And I'm about to jump over a 4-foot wall and fight my way through traffic when the guy comes out of nowhere and says to me, he says, don't do that. And I said, well, it's just over there. I'm from Texas, bless God. I can see it over there. If I can see it, I can get to it. He says, you can't get to it from there. I said, well, why? He says, well, man, have you never been in the city? I said, not very often. And he looked at me and said, what rodeo did you just come from? I said, I've been in a rodeo since I left Texas. Everything's a rodeo. Sometimes you get in these strange lands and these strange places and you're trying to operate and it just, what you know, it just won't work. The guy said, don't do that. He said, just go down to the next level and there's be a shuttle bus pick you up. Take you over there. Don't, I mean, he said, be civilized, what he told me. And I said, well, I thank you for that. And I went down and so I waited trying to figure out, I got to tell y'all this is hilarious. People, I'm telling you, man, it's a reality TV show, just being with me. I find this big board, you know, like I'm trying to be civilized. So I go up to this, there's a phone in the wall there, you know, and there's all the list of hotels, and I'm trying to get to this one, and there's numbers, and you push a number, and then, I'm thinking I'm going to talk to somebody. So I get hold of the phone, and I push, can't hardly hear anything. Of course, can't hardly hear anything anyway. And so I got the phone stuck at my ear, and I said, I need to get picked up the shuttle down over here. And I noticed everybody was looking at me, and I thought, that's funny. And so I can hear somebody. I said, man, can you speak up? I can hardly hear you. And I finally realized it was a recording. I don't know. I guess everybody's looking at me like, how did he get through? We didn't get through. You know, and so then I see the bus coming that I want to get on. And so, man, that buses keep just, I notice they just keep going by me, nobody's paying any attention to me standing there. So I said, well, this guy's not getting away. So I step out in the middle of the road. And the guy's motioning at me, like, get out of the way. And I'm like, I'm getting on your bus, man. And the guy's like, get out of the way. I'm trying to park right there, you fool. I said, oh, okay, well, I got to get these things. It's just an odd kingdom. It doesn't function like utopia. I'm in a strange land. One thing else you should never do. This is just good news. We need to take a note on this. Never return a rental car, and then when you're in the middle of it, you figure out you forgot to fill it back up with gas. Don't do that. It's a difficult thing to get in and out of the bowels of hell. So anyway, I did pretty good, other than a guy had got out in the middle of the road with a big stick and told me if I didn't turn around, I was going the wrong way in a restricted zone. And, little things like that, minor things. But anyway, strange world doesn't function like utopia. Things don't function the same. The kingdom of heaven sometimes does not make sense to us. We try to function it, but if you're trying to function it with the mentality of the world, it doesn't work. But if you learn the kingdom of heaven and you learn the rules, I want to tell you something. I know I was intimidated by the Seattle airport when I landed. I didn't know where I was going to anything. Right now, I'm pretty confident. I can go back and drop me in the middle of it. I'll get there. Because I was lost, wandered around everywhere, met everybody. Now it's not so intimidating. Now the next time I go back, I say, oh, yeah, just go right up over here. It's no big deal. Go down there. You see, because I had to go, I had to learn, I had to go, I had to experience it. When we don't walk in the things of the kingdom of heaven, when we don't walk in the things of God, when we stay away from it because it's scary to us, we don't really know what to do, well, listen, you don't learn that away. You don't grow that away. You don't develop in the things of God. That you have to go into the midst of it to get it figured out. But when you're in the midst of it and you don't know what's going on, you're just praying and saying, God, I need you to do something. I need your help. And you're just praying. For the first time in life, you're really praying. And then you start to see God answering your prayers. All of a sudden, you're learning. You're getting smarter. You're learning how the kingdom operates. That's what we've all got to get to. That's what we've all got to get to in life. And it's never ending. You never get to a place that you've got it all figured out. Right? I don't care where you are or in what phase of life or walk of life, wherever you're at. You haven't learned it all. There's another plateau. There's another place in the kingdom that you have to learn. So it says something here. And last week I talked about that in learning to walk, the first thing you do is you got to come into an agreement with God that His way is right. There's a world out there right now that wants to tell you that serving God doesn't pay. Serving God doesn't pay. I find it greater faith to believe that this world could have crashed into another world and exploded and a big bang theory happened and then all of this that is surrounding us could have just taken place out of chaos. I find that that has to take more faith to believe that than you would that there was a God who always was, who made it. It just can't happen. I saw some beautiful things this past week. It just couldn't happen. Couldn't have just fallen into place like that and come out of chaos? How many things have chaos, have you ever seen? You're making a cake and chaos takes place. Does it turn out good? Right? Easy doesn't do good. Right? The first thing you have to come into an agreement is you have to come into an agreement with God that he's right. You may not understand it. It's kind of like your dad used to tell you don't do something, and you knew he was wrong, and then you did it. And then you told your sons, don't do that. Right? You were sure he was wrong. But he was right. Sometimes in life you don't understand the things that are going on. We can't grasp it. Like here's a good one. You know, I'll probably get in trouble here saying this. Y'all don't boo me until I finish my statement. I disagree about 99.99% with the current presidency. Okay? But one thing I can say is this president has done for the nation is he has brought it to its knees and got more people praying than has ever prayed before. There are more people concerned about what's going on in the world today, more people praying, more people seeking God than has ever. People have gotten woke up and have gotten up in arms, and people have gotten to thinking, and they weren't there before. We'd gotten lazy and complacent. It's the most positive thing that he did. He's got this nation to pray in. So sometimes I don't understand God's ways. See, I could have looked at it differently, but he's the God that sees the end from the beginning. And then he sees the beginning from the end. He can see both ends of it at the same time. And he knows what needs to be. And you have to come in. If you're going to walk in the kingdom of God, you have to come into the agreement in life that God's way is perfect. He's got a way. And this is the way he says to do it, so that it's got to be right. And to deviate from that is going to cause shipwreck in your life. You with me? The second thing is you got to understand, if you're going to walk in the kingdom of God, is you do not earn merits or points in the kingdom of God because of your good works, your good habits, your all this. But you don't earn anything in the kingdom of God. Everything in the kingdom of God is given to you, and it's all given to you based upon holiness. You did not earn your salvation. You can only receive your salvation as a free gift from God. Right? And your salvation didn't come about because you did it right. Your salvation came about because inside of your heart you heard from heaven that you were not right with God, that you had forsaken him and forsaken his ways, and you needed to get right and get straight. And so you said, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God, and I want you to come into my life. And when he did that, boom, the faith inside of your heart grabbed a hold of the power of God. And inside of you, God became to live and to dwell and changed. And you're now, the Bible says, according to Colossians 1:21, that you are holy, or 22, that you're holy, you're unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight because of what you believed, not because of what you did. Folks, you can't get any holier than holy, unblameable, and unreprovable. Right? You can't get any squeakier clean than that. So the world says you can only receive from God because of something you do. Now, there's things that you do in the kingdom of God, to helping people and blessing people and praying for people. There are things that you do, but you're not doing that to earn points. Right? If you've already won, you're just now going through the motions of the game. You already know the outcome. You already know the score. You won. Amen? The third thing is you got to understand that your walk in life has to be submitted to God. Now, on this, like I was saying on this trip, so we started out, I said, I got off the plane before I even got on the plane. I said, Lord, we'll just submit this whole trip to you. I mean, we got to go. We got certain things we got to do. We got a few meetings we got to take, but Lord, it's all up to you. I'm just going to trust you. You're just going to have to line everything up. I don't know what to do. So, I mean, I'll do the best I can, but you're going to have to set it up. So we get to the airport, and we step off the plane. We don't know where we're going because I've never been to that airport before. Just follow the signs. Just keep looking at the signs. It says, okay, baggage claims. And, you go down here, and and downstairs, and you just have to look up, keep following the signs. And as I was walking, doing this, I thought to myself, isn't this the way you're supposed to walk with God? Just start looking at the signs. Okay, Lord, where's the sign? Which way am I supposed to go here, Lord? You can't see my, I can't see my bag down there. Right? I can't see my bag or hear my bag saying, Robert, I'm down here. I mean, you can't see all the way. I got to just follow that sign, and I go to that sign ends, and then I got to, if I come to a crossroads, I got to look again. Okay, where's the sign? Oh, there's the sign. Okay, bags can go down. And so, we make it down, and all of a sudden we find the carousel, and, you know, I'm really big at when I get off of an airplane, I don't know where I'm going. It's kind of follow everybody else, and that can be good if everybody's going the same direction you're going, right? But I figure there's a certain amount of people that don't have bags to pick up and a certain amount that do, and you just kind of got to figure out which way they're going and kind of follow the crowd. And so anyway, you know, had to follow the signs, had to see, and had to say, okay, Lord, it's all your. So we get through, we get out of there, and we don't know where we're going from there. And so, God bless the Huckabees. They'd given us some instruction, and we didn't write any of it down, just listened. So this guy had told me, now y'all are going to laugh at this. This guy had told me, he said, you know, that there's this light rail. You can go get on this light rail, this train, take you right downtown, dump you off right where you need to go. And I said, okay, well, I like trains. Let's go on the train. So it's in the middle of the night. Maybe just keep going out. We're on these parking lots, going out there, just wandering around, nothing. Just a little old sign every now and then with a little arrow pointing light rail, okay? So we just following it. My wife, God bless her, you know, she just following along, said, man, are you going to get us killed or what? But I'm feeling pretty confident about it because now I've already got to my bag, my check-ons. I've already got pocket knives all over me. You know, I'm ready to go. And so I'm feeling back at home now, you know. So we go to, I don't know where, how far we walked, dragging this bag, and we go up the stairs and find there's this lady standing there in front of this, you know, this train, light rail, whatever you call it. And so she looked at me and she says, where are you from? And I said, I'm from Texas. I'm lost. Don't know where I'm going. She said, where do you want to go? And I said, we got to get downtown. And she said, well, here. Let me just do it right here. Just give me $5. And I said, what, $5 is all it's going to take to get on the train? $5. And I said, okay, man, I'll do anything. $5 here. Let's see what happens. She gives me a ticket and she says, just go right up the train. Just get on it. It's the last stop. You can't. Just don't get off the train until the thing dead ends. I said, oh, that's simple enough instructions. So we get up there. It's two trains. Now, I may not be as ignorant as I look sometimes, because I will stand back and observe the situation before I jump headlong into it. So there's two trains. So I'm looking. You can't figure out which way they're going because they both got the same nose on them, you know? And I'm like, why? Laura said, which one is it? I said, I don't know. Look, she got a sign? I said, no, I don't know. So listen, I'm trying to help you here about walking in the kingdom of God. When you don't know what to do, sometimes it's best just to stand still and look. So I noticed that there's people getting on this train, people getting on that train. Good. We have a 50-50 chance of being right. Well, I didn't know that the thing started at the airport and ended downtown. There was no other way it was going to go, that both trains were headed in the same direction. I just didn't know that. So I'm sitting there, and so watching it. I said, okay, so a few more people getting on this side, and few less. Those over there looking over there don't look like they're very confident. I said, that person didn't know where you're going. I don't know what they're doing. Nobody's there to direct you. Nobody's there to tell you. Nobody's there to show you anything. And so I'm looking at it. So finally I said, okay, well, let's go to this. We're going to get on this one. She said, how do you know we're going to get this one? I said, I don't know. There's more people on this one. I just think this is the one. And so we go up there and there's no door handles. And see, I'd noticed people walking up there and I was like, huh, how are they getting in that train? You know, that thing. I mean, I'm redneck, you know, I'm country boy. And no door handle. How are you going to get in the train? There's no door handle. And so, finally I noticed that this person put their hand up in front of this little sensor on the door, like there would be a doorknob there, and they put their hand up there, and the door opens. So it's like, ah. And so, as I'm walking up, this guy who's more lost than I am runs up to the train. He's like, ah. He starts hitting on the door. Ah. Train's going to leave, and I'm outside. I said, sir, just put your hand down for a minute. Handle that. He put his hand down, that thing opened up. He should have seen the look on his face. Like, yeah, that's all you got. Get in the trunk. He said to me, he said, "Hey, is this train is it going downtown?" I said, "I hope so." This walk off, leave me alone. And sure enough, it was in the right place, got down there, you know. Point is that sometimes in life, you just need to stand still. You're trying to figure out the things of the kingdom of God. You're trying to figure out where to go and what to. You don't know what to do. You just have to stand still and just observe and watch and say, "Okay, Lord, what do you want me to do?" Because if you start figuring it out, I'd have been just like that guy panicking. The train's beating on the window. I want in. I felt so smart at that moment. Okay. And so you gotta learn that you gotta submit your will to His will. Lord, you're going to lead me. You're going to take me. You got to trust. There comes a time in life. I don't know where we're going. We're in a strange land, going on a train that I've never been on, heading in a direction I don't even can't figure out which way is north, south, east, and west. It's dark and I can't see the sun, and I'm too far up north, and it's just barely going over, and I can't even see where it is, and I'm getting kind of about half lost, trying to find moss on the side of the tree, see where it is, which way is north. Cloudy, I can't see the stars. Don't know where I'm going. Just having to trust that I'm headed in the right direction. And folks, I can't always, I wish, because we always want comfort. We always want somebody to stand there and tell us it's okay. You're going the right direction. We always want a guide to be there. But the only guide we have is the Bible and the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts and give us comfort inside of our hearts that we're going in the right direction. And you can't see the end. You can't see where you're going to be. You don't know what is waiting for you down there. And that comes where it means you submit your will to God. Say, "God, I trust you. I'm going to end up in a good place. I don't understand what's going on, but I'm going to end up in a good place because I trust you. You're a good God. You're going to take care of me. You're not going to just dump me off in the middle of nowhere." The funny thing about it is, see, I tried to get smart in the middle of this. I'd done better just to pray. And I got this new iPhone. And then it dawned on me about 3/4 of the way through the escapade that it had a maps on here, and so I got a hold of the maps and I started looking. I said, "Well, wait a minute, this thing's got a little old dot, tells me where I'm right here, you know, it's pretty cool." So I'm looking at this thing, and so then I'm walking around trying to figure out, okay, now let's see, where am I going here, you know, and I'm walking and wandering around trying to figure out where my dot is, you know. I told Laura, I said, "I think we need to go this way." And she's like, "Well, how do you know we need to go this way?" I said, "Well, I don't know, this thing looks like that's the direction point. Let's just walk down here and see what the dot does, you know." So I'm wandering around the streets of this stupid thing. It is a fiasco. My wife asking me the whole time, "How do you know we're supposed to go this way?" I said, "I don't know. It just seems like this would be the direction we need to go." "Well, how do you know?" "Well, I don't know. It just seems like this would be right." And if we walk down there and it's not right, let's go. So we get to the place, we're standing on the street corner, and she's not giving me confidence now that we're heading in the right direction. She said, "You know, how do you know we're not, well, you need to call somebody or something." And we're standing there trying to figure it out, and not just across a half of a block, there's the hotel we're looking for right in front of us. I mean, just like we wandered out there like a couple of lost sheep, you know, and then said, oh, there it is, you know. Walked across, you know, dragging our luggage, walked across, you know. I must have said hello to 100 people down the street that all looked at me like there was something wrong with me. We get over there, the guys just look at us walking up to the hotel like, "What are y'all doing here?" Walked up there, the guy said, "Where are you from?" I said, "That's come from the rodeo." I said, "I'm from Texas." "So where about Utopia, Texas?" He says, "You got to be kidding." He said, "I've been there." Small world. Small world. So, point is, you just got to submit your walk to the Lord. You don't know. You got to trust Him. But you're going to end up in the right place. The only way to walk in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not going to point you all the way to the end, show you the spot, and put a big bright light over it. You have to go through those places and just walk with Him. Okay? Which brings me to my next point here. Look in John chapter 15, verse 19. I want to read this to you. In John, let's start reading 18. It says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I choose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. In this, in the Message translation, it says it just a tad different. I'll read it to you. It says, if you lived on the world's terms, the world would love you as one of its own. But since you picked up and chose to live on God's terms, and no longer on the world's terms, the world is going to hate you. You know, it's interesting because I'm just, to me, in life, I feel like I'm nothing but a normal person. I feel like I'm just like every one of y'all. We're just normal people. But when you take us out of our element here, and then you take us and you put us in some other element that's not the norm for this area, then we stick out like a sore thumb. Right? But I feel just totally normal. I'm just wearing my hat just like I would any day of the world. I don't think I... You know, people, when they see somebody in a cowboy hat, they immediately think that you dressed up. Outside of Utopia, outside of this area of Texas, they think you're like put on a costume. It's the truth. Because we're so odd, it's different. Right? Well, it's interesting because the world wants you to be like it. And I'm not talking about your dress. I'm talking about in your belief. There's a whole movement going on that's stronger now than it's been since probably the 60s of trying to get you to not believe in God. To trying to get you right now to believe that God does not have a way, that he's not real, he's not alive, he's not going to move, that you're an intolerant, racist, bigoted person for believing in God and believing that the Bible's true. There's a major, major spiritual thrust right now to take Christians out of believing in God. Amen? You may not see it around here, but it's a major thing going on in the world right now. Wants you to quit. Wants preachers to shut up. Wants people to quit going to church. Wants to get everything out of that. Don't trust in God. Don't believe in God. It's not, you're not gonna, he's not your savior. There's no savior, but you know, the government. That's what's going on right now. It's a spirit. It's a spirit unleashed upon this land. All right. When you're in a godless society, like say in 1993, when I was in the former Soviet Union in the part of the Ukraine, and you walked around and no person, the people there were atheists. They were been raised atheists. They didn't believe in God. And the feeling of hopelessness and the feeling of fear and the feeling of the void of being in that situation, you realize that in that kind of society, that's what you got was oppression and fear and it was horrible. And we've lived in such a great place in America to where you've had your freedom of choice and you can just go and to do it. And that seems so foreign to us. But it's really not. It's only a generation away. I'll get enough people that just start turning the system and all of a sudden, you're the outcast. You're the strange one. You're the oddity. The world has a set of terms, and God has a set of terms in the kingdom. Y'all hear me? And they're never going to match. You might as well just quit trying to make it match. It ain't going to match. It's like trying to mix black and white. You can't do it. You just get gray. when he chose to walk with God, when he chose to believe in him, and he chose to live, and you choose to live under God's terms, then the world's terms are going to hate you for doing it. And you might as well just accept it. You might as well not be mad at them. You might as well not try to argue with them. You might as well not complain about it. You might as well not say, you know, anything. You just might as well understand that's just the way it is. Accept it and say, that's just the way it is. I'm going to walk in the kingdom of God because what I just told you, the first 3 points, you are in agreement that his way is perfect. You already are in agreement that you're going to walk in the holiness that he has for you. You already agreed that your walk is going to be submitted to him. So you might as well come to an understanding that the kingdom of heaven has terms to it. And if you walk in those terms, you're going to find the blessings of God. And the world's going to think you're an idiot for doing it. So what? They think I'm crazy for walking around wearing a hat. I don't even know what I believe. But every now and then you find some jewels along this road. Because I did meet some people that looked at me, looked in my eyes and said, I don't know who you are or what you're really, who you are or where you've really come from, but I want to do business with you because I like you. They didn't see me. They saw Jesus in me. Every now and then you run across a person who'll stop and I'll say, you know, there's something different about you. And they don't mean it in a bad way. You see, there's a few jewels you walk across in this life when you're doing it God's way. So there are people in the world that are just kind of don't know what, they don't know why they're in the world. They're just in the world, living by the world's terms. But then they see something that they want to get out. They're looking for a way. And you run across those jewels and it's just precious. To me, it's precious. Like, God, you led me this whole way and there it is. There, that's what I was here for, was for that. And we've got to get out of the understanding that, yeah, the world hates you and quit trying to figure out, I don't understand this. Why do you? Folks, the world is crazy right now. The world right now doesn't make any sense and doesn't make, I mean, it's just like I am dumbfounded when I read a newspaper. And you read the articles and it's just like, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, things that we understand just for common sense. I mean, I'm just waiting for them to say, you know, upon the government's declaration today that you could drive your cars farther today because the gasoline's going to go farther, that no one's going to run out of gas. And then all of a sudden, the next day's pages say, you know, cars stalled all over the highways. Cannot figure out why their vehicles won't move. It's like, duh, you got to put some gas in it. You can't wean that car off of gas. Y'all with me? I mean, we said that's so crazy. I'm telling you, there's crazy things going on right now that I'm just like, what? It's not like, it's obvious. It's just, y'all with me? Okay. The world's got terms. God's got terms. Just get on his terms. Just get on God's terms. Forget about what the world wants to do. Forget about what the world wants to say. Just walk on God's terms. All right? Now, let me just show you something else here. Let me give you one more. The fifth one here is that, listen, you got to understand something. When you're walking in the kingdom of heaven and you're walking in the kingdom of God's on his terms, he's not concerned about time. Y'all with me? Everything that we do in the world is all about time. Y'all with me? Listen to me. If you're going to live forever, then how long is time? You say, well, but you know, Pastor, I mean, we're only on this earth for this long. Yeah, but see, that's where you're missing it. Jesus said he came to give you eternal life. I've told y'all this, that if you ever watch America's Funniest Home Videos or any of those kind of shows like that, that most of the things that happen that they're taking are from some guy that's about 40 years old that still thinks he can do what he did when he was 20. Just watch him. That's always what it is. Because inside, there's still something in your head says, you know, I think I could do that. And you can't. Your body's not going to do it. It's not going to. It is not going to. It's not going to do it. It's not going to cooperate with you. Can I have an amen? And so, your mind's telling you you can do it, but your body, it ain't going to do it. And in the things of the kingdom of heaven, our mind is telling us we're stuck to this earth from the time you were born to the time you would pass from this earth. And you're looking at time as being in that proportion. Hello? Like, I don't like it, but I can see myself getting older. You know, I'm like, what's happening here? And so then that leads to a point that you'd almost want to panic and you say, there's some things we've got to hurry up and do in life. I mean, for long, we're not going to be able to do this anymore. Wait a minute. But then you're only thinking in terms of this life. If you start to think in terms on eternal basis that you're never going to cease to exist, that you're going to step out of here into heaven and then from there on. Folks, listen to me. Heaven is not sitting around on a cloud playing a harp. Do you think that a God who creates a world that's this fantastic, and we're only seeing one earth right here that's this fantastic, this amazing, this much splendor and beauty, that you're going to get to heaven and just sit around on a cloud in a robe all day long playing on a harp and nothing else to do? That's only because that's all man can think of that would possibly be there. But you got to start thinking on the terms of heaven's terms on that there is no end. So if there isn't any end and I've only been living for, you know, almost 50 years, then what's, and I'm not even out of the womb. If you're going to look at forever, look at the person beside you and say, I think pastor's gone crazy. Are you hearing me? When you start looking at it in God's terms, that there's no stop. There, it's a forever. Then all of a sudden you can kind of relax a little bit and say, oh, okay. We've got a lot longer to go. There's a lot more living to do. Because God's terms are not like the world's terms. Hello. I can't tell you everything that's going to happen on the other side. I can't tell you everything that's going to be there. I just know what the terms are. The terms are forever. My contract is a forever contract. Let me give you one last scripture. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm going to close here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. It says, while we do not look at the things that are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Folks, if you start walking like in the world's terms, looking at the things that are seen, you're going to get discouraged, you're going to get disappointed, you're going to get fearful, you're going to not go forward. But if you look at the things on God's perspective, that everything is eternal, and that the things that are not seen, are those are what really count, those eternal things, those meeting those people along life's journeys that you witness to and speak to and minister to, those people that you lead to Jesus, those events and places and things that happen in your life that are God, holy moments that you help someone, or you talk to someone, or you encourage someone, or you sowed somewhere, or you blessed, or you did something. And those are the moments of life that have eternal value, that never ever stop producing, that those are the moments in life you live for, because you know that they have things to do with eternity. The temporal things that you look at in this world get you into fear and get you into worry and get you into fretting and say, oh, what about this? What about this? What about this? You can't do it. You can't do it. So let's live life on God's terms. Let's live life on not the world's terms, but on God's terms. And when the world says that we're wrong and we're crazy, you say, look, you just don't understand the terms. You just don't understand the terms. I've gotten to where any salesman that calls me and tells me that something's free, I said, ain't nothing free. So get to the point, because you're lying. It's going to cost me something somewhere. You with me? Amen. Look at the person beside you and say, maybe pastor's not crazy. Amen. If you would, stand to your feet for me, please. Can I have my prayer team come down? Church, listen to me. I want to pray for you this morning. I just want to give you I want to pray, because I just feel like this morning that there's people that life's cares and concerns, life's troubles and woes may be holding you down. And I want you this morning to be able to release that and just give it to the Lord. And get over on God's terms this morning. And get some joy in your heart. Some peace in your life. Let the Spirit of God come on the inside of you and deliver you from those fears. Because folks, I've already read the end of the book. We win. I already looked at the things that aren't seen, and it says it's forever. The only decision you really got to make in life is the decision to make Jesus Lord of your life. That's only really the decision you got to make. Once you've made that decision, all the free gifts of heaven are yours. And it's all by your belief, not by what your works are. So if you would, everyone, just bow your heads to the Lord here for just a moment. And have a little time of privacy there. And I want to pray for you. I'm not even going to ask you for a show of hands. I just know I can feel it in my heart. I know I'm feeling somebody else's heart today. So if you're heavy-hearted today, I want to pray for you right now. And you receive this prayer. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, Lord, I just speak over every person in here. Lord, you see the hearts of the people. You know what they're going through. And I pray right now this morning, Lord, that by the power of your Spirit, that this message, they would hear it from heaven today. That their ears would be open and their hearts would be open, and they'd receive this word today, and it'd leap within their soul and would give them hope, and it would take the darkness and the oppression off. And let the reality of the kingdom of heaven come in their lives. I pray right now, Heavenly Father, that you would begin to remove the burdens as they give them to you. That by the power of your Spirit, Lord God, that you would begin to just lift the burdens off of them, and that joy could come in their hearts. Peace could come in their lives. Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, we just commit ourselves to you this morning. We trust in you. We trust in you for our future.
We trust in you, Lord God, that your hand is upon our lives. And that right now, we don't look at the things that are seen. We look at the things that are not seen. We look at those things that are eternal. And we thank you for it. The Lord, we give you all the praise. We give you all the praise. Right now. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.